Uh-oh.
A little bit of Ray. The best bits.
Ray Foley's my name. There's JP over there.
How are you doing?
How long has it been since Kira was on with us? It seems like it's been 1,000 years since... Oh, Jesus, Crackly.
Oh, my word.
Crackly Kira is what we call it. Is that me crackling? Oh, my God. Hang on a second. Let me change that. Hello, Crackly Kira.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. Let me turn you up a little bit there. That's my connection. I had you on my Bluetoothy job. How long has it been since you've been on with us?
It feels like it's been 2 years.
Yeah, I think that's about right. Isn't it 2 years, JP? Yeah,
it's been about two years. Yeah.
about 2 years. Yeah, give me 1 second. I'll play this thing for you. I want to play it over there. 1 second. It's Kira King. She's Kira King. It's Kira King. Mm, baby, yeah.
How have you been?
We've been fine, yeah. There's no big round of applause. No huge reaction to that. Did you miss your singing intro?
No. I heard this. No, it was really good.
Did you love it, yeah?
Yeah, no, it was brilliant, guys.
Okay. She said, it's been like 2 years since we did the singing for you. I thought we might get a bit more than that, you know?
No, do you know what? I can't hear you brilliantly right now.
All right. I'm kind of hearing myself back on an echo as well. Am I on speaker there or something? Is it?
No.
All right. Am I hearing myself?
I'm hearing something.
I'm hearing
also.
Myself being echoed back.
I just think feeding back at us.
Kira was saying. By the way, we're talking about Mickey's a couple of minutes ago. Kira was saying that Jamie should have won. Jamie hurt himself in the swimming pool. Should have won the tickets for Electric Picnic and not Elaine with the two little boys. But because his story was more upsetting, was it, Kira?
Yeah, it was more upsetting. And if you're going to have a Mickey story, that's a Mickey story.
Yeah, do you know what? In fairness, do you know what? Maybe we should have deliberated on that a little bit more, gotten more votes or an external opinion. But it is what it is now. Elaine's been told she's getting the tickets, so... sure, look at lads. Like I said, it is what it is. It's lovely to have you back. What are we having to look at first this week, actually?
Well, I think the main thing that people are going to be talking about and have been talking about kind of for the last year are the band Zika and their either biopic, whatever you want to call it, which is out in Irish cinemas tonight.
Kneecap. Is this a documentary, the Kneecap business?
I don't know what to call it. They're calling it a documentary, but it's a film. But the boys play themselves in the story about how they got together as a group of Irish rappers in Belfast.
Okay. For anyone that's not familiar with Kneecap, that's exactly it. They're a bunch of Irish rappers and they've exploded. I mean, they're absolutely humongous on social media. The music is brilliant. Have a listen. This is the trailer for Kneecap.
Tell me something about you. Something you've never told anyone else.
I'm a rapper. There are 80,000 native Irish speakers in Ireland. Three of us have become rappers.
Ian, Dog, Three.
Him and his wee pals' music has drawn attention from all the wrong places.
Nothing but a H-double-O-D. No life scum.
Kneecap. So-called Irish language rappers promoting antisocial behaviour and violence.
Why don't you just speak the Queen's English?
Well, look who it is. Bone Thugs and No Harmony.
There you go, it's called Kneecap. Tell us, is it worth it? Worth a look here?
I'm always really worried when there's a lot of hype around something, and obviously they got an audience award at the Sundance Film Festival earlier on, and I'm delighted to tell you that it's absolutely worth the hype. So as I said, the boys are kind of playing themselves. So it starts off with two lads, Makara and Mowgli Bap, and they're two lads in Belfast and they come from Catholic backgrounds and they're getting into a load of trouble. And a lot of it is to do with kind of, you know, hitting out in a former protest against the British government. Anyway, they're arrested by a PSNI officer, one of the boys, Makara, and he refuses to speak English. He only speaks in Irish. So they bring in a teacher to basically, what's the word? Translate so that they can get on with the whole kind of situation.
Okay.
That teacher discovers Makara has a notebook full of lyrics and raps and decides to join the boys as another rapper in the group, but he has to wear a balaclava because he's a teacher, obviously, in Belfast. Michael Fassbender appears in this movie. He plays one of the characters' fathers who had to fake his own death for reasons connected to the IRA in Belfast. He's absolutely brilliant. But this is so much more than three lads from Belfast getting together and creating a rap group. It's about promotion of Irish language. It's about how the next generation after the Troubles in Belfast, how they're affected now and how Catholic and Protestants are with each other in Belfast as well. And also they come up against loads of people that don't want the group to survive as well. It's got train spotting vibes.
Okay.
But not as dark. Not as dark as train spotting by any means. It's an incredible, incredible documentary. I wouldn't be surprised if we see the boys on the red carpet at the Oscars. It's visually stunning. The music isn't to my taste, but my mum and dad went out yesterday afternoon, so I listened to Get Your Brits Out. So mum and dad walked in and I had Get Your Brits Out on really loudly in the house, and the two of them were looking at me and I was like, oh, this is research.
This is work. Get Your Brits Out. Well, the thing is, the music is brilliant. Fine, if you're either into it or you're not or whatever, but I'm going to play one in a couple of minutes. The music is brilliant. How much of it, though, is inspired by their own story, by their own actual experience, or is it just...
Obviously a poetic license here, you know, as well. But the boys took 6 months acting lessons.
Wow.
Yeah, and what I love about this as well is obviously we know that kneecap or the trio or whatever, but like in the terms of America, people are only finding out afterwards that the person who plays the teacher is also actually a real life member of the band Kneecap.
Yeah, I guess as well it's an opportunity to show modern Northern Ireland in 2024, because internationally people might still think Northern Ireland is
they even make a joke about that at the start of the documentary. They introduce Belfast and they say to the audience that are watching the film / documentary, whatever you want to call it, that this is what Belfast is known for. It's not known for anything else, and it's time for that to change. And look, anything that promotes the Irish language, I'm all for anyway. And I'm jumping on the Kneecap bandwagon, absolutely, as I said, because I think they were chosen as Ireland's official submission for next year's Academy Awards. So I'd be very, very surprised if we don't see them on the red carpet.
That's disappointing. I thought you were going to say they were chosen as Ireland's official submission for the Eurovision, which would be amazing. All right, we'll have a look at what else is worth looking at this weekend. We've got Ciara joining us live, and we'll be checking out the streamers after Kneecap. This is Better Way to Live on Today. Raise My Name, JP, is his name.
Right here.
And that young lady's name in Connemara this afternoon is the one and only Ciara King.
Hello.
Oh, darling. What's the weather like in Connemara?
It has been raining all day long, and it's that horrible drizzle that falls down on the mountains and the sea, and you think you're never going to make it out ever again.
I'm delighted. I'm actually delighted here. Yeah. There's nothing worse than being in smelly... The city centre at the moment in Dublin is that sort of smelly sunny where the tourists have dropped all their rubbish, and it's just it's got a fog. And then to hear that it's a drizzly and roundstone out in the west of Ireland. Yeah, I'm actually thrilled. I'm delighted. let's have a look. I watched Deadpool, by the way. Wolverine Deadpool. We saw it. Yeah.
Did you watch it? I was away, so did you enjoy it?
It was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of... Reynolds is a comedy, is very sharp and funny, and there's loads of it. But it starts to wear...
But are we sick of it?
It was fine. Like I say, it was still good. It was better than bad. It was good.
Yeah.
And it was they fight a lot in it. Fight each other a lot. And I was like,
yeah.
The third time they were fighting each other, I was like, all right, lads, just can we get on with this and just proceed with the film? But it was fine. And he's very, very funny and likable, Ryan Reynolds. I mean it's definitely worth having a look at, particularly. And they definitely do round off the Fox era of the those superheroes. But anyway, we'll talk about that another time when we have you in. What else is worth looking at? This is...
This was one that I was really excited about when I saw the trailer, because when I was watching Oppenheimer last year, you know Josh Hartnett, the actor that was around kind of in the late 90s, early noughties?
Good looking.
And then he just kind of disappeared for a while. And I remember kind of sitting up in my seat when he appeared on the screen in Oppenheimer. Didn't realise until that moment that I actually really missed Josh Hartnett being around. So... Can you imagine my excitement when I see a trailer for an M. Night Shyamalan movie
starring Josh Hartnett, called Trap. It's out this weekend, but I wouldn't get too excited about it.
All right.
Is that the twist? Is that the M. Night Shyamalan twist?
It turns out it's rubbish.
It's not good. Guys, it's not
good. Right. And like when he's been interviewed, when M. Night has been interviewed about this, he says that the whole concept of the movie was, what if Silence of the Lambs happened at a pop concert? So obviously I was like, oh my God, this is absolutely brilliant. And Josh Hartnett plays a serial killer who's a devoted dad who brings his daughter to a pop concert of a very famous musician who I'll tell you about in just 2 seconds. And the police have organized this big massive sting because someone has made a phone call to say this serial killer is at this particular concert. So the whole movie is, will he get away? Will he get away? Does he get away? He gets away, but will he get away? That is literally the whole premise of the movie.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to name drop here now, and I know you boys slagged me about this before.
You've interviewed M. Night Shyamalan.
I've interviewed. And I'm loyal because he was one of the nicest men that I've ever interviewed in my life. So I have a soft spot for him. And add on to that the soft spot I have for Josh Hartnett. I wanted to love this. I absolutely didn't. Josh Hartnett was brilliant, but he could only be as good as the script that he was given. And there was a lot of nepotism going on in this particular movie as well, because the main singer, Lady Raven, is actually M. Night's daughter in real life.
Right.
So the movie was a huge showcase for her, maybe to break out into the mainstream world of music.
Oh, I thought it. Oh, sorry. Because my reading of this, particularly about the Nepo Baby business of it, was that she was an actor, that this was an acting role for her. She was acting as a musician. But no, she's a musician and this is an opportunity.
She's a musician.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Right,
The other daughter is a writer / actor.
Right.
And also M. Night does make a cameo in this as well. Usually I love a good cameo. Kid Cudi also makes a cameo in this, but you didn't get enough background as to Josh Hartnett's character and why he ended up as a serial killer. As I said to you, the whole movie was, is he going to get away with this? Is he going to get away? Is he going to defy the police in the stadium? And then the twist, the famous M. Night twist, it just fell flat. And I'm really sorry to my friends, Josh Hartnett and M. Night. I was disappointed.
Your buddies. That's the thing. Have we ruined, or has he ruined movies, his own movies for us, and that we are spending the whole thing waiting for the twist because we know that that's his thing, that we're waiting for this.
He's kind of damned if he does, and he's damned if he doesn't. And people have been really tough on M. Night over the last couple of years as well. Like, Split was absolutely brilliant. He's never come close to The Sixth Sense, okay, since. But Split was pretty good, and I liked Old, and the rest of them are kind of forgettable. But I'm loyal to M. Night because he's my friend.
She's an M. Night fan for life.
And Josh Hartnett.
It's called Trap, and we're disappointed that it's not a fictionalized biography of Silvio Trapattoni.
Absolutely.
Well, exactly.
By the time they made that movie.
Do you know what? We're still waiting for that one to be greenlit. And there's been a lot of blowback. We've only got 30 seconds, Kiara, but it was worth mentioning that the House of the Dragon, the finale, the terrible finale, everyone's saying it's dreadful.
It brought back PTSD for Game of Thrones fans as well, because seemingly the season finale of the House of the Dragon was just such a disaster and such a letdown, because I was reading an article in the Irish Times during the week where it's just, fans were absolutely disappointed with the season finale. Now, you're a fan, aren't you?
I watched the whole first series and I really liked it, and it's quite good. I think, though, that why and from where did we get this notion that the final 30 seconds of a series needs to be amazing and needs to blow our minds and get us all hugely excited about what happens in the next series?
Remember, back in the day, people were disappointed about the ending of Lost. People were disappointed about the ending of Friends. The only ending, I think, that people were kind of okay with was The Sopranos. Game of Thrones was a disaster. Like, Game of Thrones just... I can't even still talk about it. You know what I mean? Because it was such a bad ending to such an incredible TV series. And I don't know, maybe the writers feel so much pressure to tie in all of the different stories and all that. But also, you've got the internet and everyone can have an opinion on it now as well.
Yeah. The world has changed. It's also worth noting, though, that this isn't actually the finale. It's only the finale for the second series. There's two more seasons yet to be made. It might turn out totally fine. Kerry King, darling, we'll see you in Dublin soon, shall we?
I'll see you in Dublin next week.
Fabulous, then. You can leave the weather there and we'll see you back in Dublin soon. Kerry King, pleasure.
Ray Foley. A little bit of Ray. The best bits. Catch Ray Foley from 2 p.m. weekdays on Today FM.
Ray.
Yeah.
I love the show.
Hey!